Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back. My name is Kit.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, Kit Laser.
There you go. Thank you.
We're covering Mission Impossible yet again. This time it's number 5 is Alive, Rogue Nation.
Oh, I still got the hand thing.
That's from, well, you guys know if you watched the other episode. It's from 2015, this time directed by Chris McQuarrie, the fifth director in the Mission Impossible franchise. And I've got two words that make this movie the best so far. Plot twist for my ranking.
Okay.
Spoiler.
What are these two words?
Rebecca Ferguson.
Goddamn.
I love Rebecca Ferguson. And by the way, the Silo show, the finale dropped. It's fucking incredible all the way through. Steve, you're going to love it. Please go watch that on Apple TV Plus.
Thank you.
I love this movie so much. I could watch this a million times. I cannot wait to watch Fallout because I haven't seen it in a long time. I think I've only seen that movie like twice.
Same. I'm so excited for Fallout.
But I fucking love this movie. I really do.
This is an awesome movie.
Yeah.
Like, I think all the Mission Impossibles, most of the Mission Impossibles are really, really great.
Yes.
You know, I think three's good, or three's really good. Ghost Protocol is really good. I think this is the one that fucking nails it.
I agree.
5 out of 5. Everything's working. The gears are pumping. The machine's on. This is when you're like, they did it. Those sons of bitches, they did it. They perfected the formula.
Well, that's why Tom Cruise was like, Chris McHugh, you're my dude. I'm not letting you go.
Soulmates. Yeah. They're holding hands when they're not
just
on set.
The two of us.
You and I.
And I haven't been plugging things all week, but you can email the show at streamingthingspod@gmail.com. And if you are listening to this on Google Play, Stitcher, 75% of you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts. If it's in any way possible to start listening to this on Spotify, that would help us out. We've started being hosted by Spotify, and we've got some things cooking over there that specifically Spotify subscriptions help us. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't cost you anything to switch to Spotify. If that's easy for you, you could do that. That'd be great. If it's hard, don't worry about it. Just keep listening to the show anyway you can.
Not a big deal. A big deal. The incentive is if you go into Spotify and listen to us there, you can also watch us there because Spotify does podcast video as well.
That's true.
So if you don't want to go onto YouTube, just go onto Spotify and listen to us there. You can watch us.
You could see the dick that's in Steve's hand.
It's right here.
It's a drawing.
It's a drawing.
Just to be clear to audio listeners.
It's Chris's. Shit.
But yeah, we also are going to continue our coverage of Lost season 1. If you're digging that, that's great. Steve and Phil are going to continue their coverage of Strange New Worlds season 2. And we're doing crossing streams as often as we can. We've got to double up to make room for other things sometimes, and we drop the crossing streams segment.
Yeah, this week and next week there are no crossing streams.
I did watch all of part one of The Witcher season 3.
Oh wow!
I've watched a bunch of stuff, so some stuff to talk about. It's pretty good. It's better than 2. I'm excited for the finale of Henry Cavill's foray as Geralt, because Liam Hemsworth is going to be taking over for season 4. If you didn't know that.
I did know that. It's kind of a bummer.
It is, but at the same time, it's like, no, I'm with you. I'm bummed. But it's like, nobody thought Heath Ledger would be a good Joker. Like, it happens over and over and over. So I'm going to watch. I'll see what happens, you know?
Sure.
You never
know. Give him the benefit of the doubt. Give him a chance.
Yes, absolutely. But we're talking about Rogue Nation, baby. And at the end of this, as every time, we'll give our official streaming things ranking. We have to agree on what the ranking of the Mission Impossible movies is. I'm really excited to see where Fallout lands and then where Dead Reckoning lands. And we have an official streaming things ranking.
Yeah.
Damn it. But let's, Steve, what are your overall thoughts? Anything we haven't touched on? Do you have any overall thoughts on Rogue Nation? Obviously, I spilled the beans right out of the bag. I fucking love this movie.
I also really, really love this movie. My kink in Mission Impossible is if they have great villains. And Sean Harris as Solomon Lane is so such good. A very, very great.
Ethan Hunt.
Ethan Hunt. I'm going to make an anti-IMF. Like, that guy's voice is like as if he like is gurgling asphalt and sea urchins at the same time. Just
a delicacy.
I don't know what he's doing, but it sounds name. Great.
Asphalt and sea urchins.
There we go. But it's really, really great. There's some incredible stunts as always. I love the inclusion of Alec Baldwin as the CIA guy. And I love the idea that they sort of transitioned Brandt from the secret Tom Cruise, Ethan Hunt parallel to now he's sort of like he's the suit that kind of is running the IMF in lieu of not having a secretary. Because I get the idea that they have not yet installed a new secretary from Tom Wilkinson's passing away in the last movie.
They haven't replaced Falcone.
Yeah, they haven't replaced Falcone yet. So at this point, they're like, hey, we need some oversight on the IMF. And he's like, I can't tell you anything unless the secretary tells me to.
Or deny.
It's like, well, there is no secretary. He's like, sounds like a you problem. I'm Brandt. And Ving Rhames is back. He's part of the team.
Yes.
God, I love him. It's just a really... It's great. And then, like you said, the inclusion of Rebecca Ferguson as Ilsa Faust is... Chef's kiss.
Her name being Faust is a little on the nose if you're a fan of literature. I love it.
I love that shit.
I eat that shit up.
Yeah. Give me Easter eggs.
Give them to me, baby. Let's dive right in. We got shit to do. We don't have time. God, this movie had me. I watched this from midnight to like 2:30. Never was I tired. I'll tell you that.
Never?
Never.
Never, never, ever. I get it. This is like a mile.
I was tired when I started it.
This movie moves at a clip.
It does.
Fast paced.
It's wild.
Yeah.
So Brandt and Benji are out on a mission. Luther's chiming in from Malaysia. They're trying to get a package off of a cargo plane, and it's very stressful. Hey, got to get the package off the plane. And Brandt is doing the same thing that he was doing in 4, where it's like it's his characterization that he has this nerve wracking, unhelpful narration of missions. The package is still on the plane. Like, we fucking know, my guy.
The engines are heating up. Package is on the plane.
We fucking know, my guy. But Brandt can't authorize the hacking of a Russian satellite. And Luther's like, that's why we didn't tell you. And he says, we're under investigation for misconduct as it is. And he's like, well, don't be a bitch.
What daddy doesn't know won't hurt him.
So the introduction of Ethan Hunt in this movie is like, it's so... Like, they know that they revere the character of Ethan Hunt at this point. And I actually appreciate that. Because when he shows up, he's
where's Ethan? Where's Ethan?
I'm on the plane. How'd you get in the plane? I'm on the plane. You know, he just runs up and jumps on the plane.
He's running on top of
it, yeah. This stunt kicks so much ass. Because, again, heights is kind of a thing with me. Ever since I jumped out of an airplane, scenes like this really fuck with me. Because it's a lot.
I can't believe you actually jumped out of an airplane if you're that scared of heights.
I mean, I do things... For the clout. As you know, by my name being Kit Laser, I commit to the bit. And I'm not going to be punked out of jumping out of a plane. If my buddy's like, hey, I bought tickets to jump out of a plane and I would like you to come.
Would you do it again?
No. But I've already done it. Now I would
do it again. I would do it constantly.
Well, the worst part about it was I told you about the inner ear problem that I had. It was like somebody stabbed me in the side of the head with an ice pick and didn't go away for days. So I think like biologically, I'm not like supposed to do stuff like that. Because like
that makes sense.
Normal flights, I've adapted to chewing gum and being mostly miserable because of the ear thing. So like, I just don't think it's like I got a severe migraine just hiking up the Smoky Mountains. Like I'm just not good. I'm not good with altitude. But anyway, this stunt kicks so much ass. Open the fucking door, Benji.
Other door.
And at this point, I'm like, open the door, Benji. Like, it stresses me out because there's a point where he's just kind of like slack-jawed, shocked that Ethan's doing this instead of typing. And I'm like, dude,
yeah,
the plane's taking off, my guy.
Yeah, so Ethan's literally hanging on the side of the plane. He's at a door. He wants Benji to unlock the door so he can get in the plane before it takes off. That does not happen.
Nope.
It's that awesome shot where the camera's kind of affixed, I assume, to the wing, and you see Tom Cruise hanging on the door. The plane actually takes off, and he like starts like dangling while he's hanging onto the side of the door.
And by the way, that was really Tom Cruise hanging from the plane with almost no aid from CGI and minimal safety measures. It's a very intense stunt. Mm-hmm. He's a fucking madman, and I love it so much.
Yeah, apparently they had a wind resistant custom frame for the camera built mounted to the left wing of the plane, and then they also had these weird their protective lenses on his eyes because they were worried, you know, because you're flying at high speeds that he would be closing his eyes the whole time. So in order to keep his eyes open, they had these like really small protective lenses so he can keep his eyes open the entire time in the shot.
He's a madman though.
Yeah. And yeah, he's literally just hanging on the side of this giant plane as it's taken off. It's bananas. But what an iconic shot, though. Like that, the Mission Impossible dangling, like wire hanging sequence is like very iconic. I would say this is the second most iconic shot in the series, is just him left justified frame hanging on the side of the plane as it takes off.
I agree that until Fallout with the jumping out of the plane, the Halo jump.
That's fair.
That this is what you think of in modern day Mission Impossible for sure. It's this kind of shit that they're known for sure. I mean, this elevated the friend. I love this movie. I didn't know how much I love this movie until rewatching it last night. If six is as good as I remember and as everybody says, and is better than this, I can't fucking imagine.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I can't wait.
I'm fucking hyped. I'm probably going to watch it tonight and then we're not going to be able to talk about it for a week. Benji opens the wrong door. He opens like the cargo door. And then finally, when he opens the right door, Ethan gets like sucked into the plane and almost falls right back out.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. Then he sees the package, which is just a bunch of bombs
on like a pallet.
Yeah. And then he like loops his arms through the netting of the missiles and pulls the parachute on the bombs. But like the security guard sees him and he's just like, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Did you recognize that security guard?
No. Is it a lost guy? Because I'll fucking lose it.
No, even better. The actor is Alec Utgoff, who plays Alexei in Stranger Things.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Cherry Slushy himself.
Yep.
But as soon as he pulls the chute, you don't even get to see him get fully sucked out of the plane. It cuts to the intro and it's dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun.
So it's just like this one-off mission that's really fun. And we cut to Ethan in a record store.
Did you see the title of the record store?
No.
I love it. The record store is called The Vinyl Offer.
Oh,
isn't that good?
It should have called it The Vinyl Countdown.
The Vinyl. Oh, shit. Now we owe them a ton of money.
Ethan's in the record store. He says he's looking for something rare, which is a code word. Jazz. And they have like a jazz talk, which is I fell asleep. And
it's
then,
all about the notes they're not playing, baby.
Do you know why they called him Shadow Man or whatever?
Here's Nightbird.
Which is kind of like a reference to Lane. And then she, again, he's a legend now. And so she's like, is it really you? It can't be all true, all the stuff they say. He just smiles like, it's huge.
It's true.
And then he goes into...
You can
into,
see Solomon Lane in the background that whole scene too.
Really?
He's like seated in the corner.
Interesting. Yeah. I didn't notice that. There's a lot of like Doctor Who TARDIS in this movie. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
Because he goes into the TARDIS and he's like, he gets his mission, which is about the shadow organization, the syndicate. And he's like, normally the mission would normally be to dismantle this organization. However, fuck you.
We are the syndicate, Mr. Hunt. Yeah. Now we know who you are. It's time to face your fate.
It's like Anonymous style. You know, we are Legion. And then he's trapped in this box that's gassing him and he has to watch Solomon Lane kill that nice lady.
Right in front of him. Yeah.
And it's like, again, there's an issue, I think, with the plot. I'm like, why not just kill Ethan? You had him. There's a reason for that. Mm-hmm. This movie's great. Fuck you.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Fuck you, brain.
I do love that flip they do where he's not getting his next mission. It's literally the villains being like, we're coming after you, buddy.
Yeah, this movie tells you from jump, this is not what you expect. I know that there's a shtick to this. We're subverting your expectations right from the get-go. Strap in, baby. Mm-hmm. And just we're not going to kill or fridge the one female character this time. Everything's different.
Everything.
Are you ready? Can you handle it?
Are you ready? Can you handle? And just the visual of someone being like, stuck in a box that's slowly filling up with like a thick opaque gas. That's a visually striking image.
Yeah, it's scary. Yeah. And it's obviously flipped at the end where Solomon has a taste of his own medicine. He's doing the same thing Ethan's doing. He's pounding on the glass ineffectually. All that stuff is good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, then it cuts to Alec Baldwin, who is the director of the CIA, Hunley, Mr. Hunley to you. and he has Brandt, who's representing IMF on trial, right? Mm-hmm. I guess with like fucking Congress or something. And there's some
Security Council
references to other movies that we've seen in the past few weeks. We've been talking about all the stunts that they've pulled and how in Hunley's estimation, or even the director, the Congress guy, it's luck, not skill in most of these instances.
Your methods are indistinguishable by chance and luck.
Which is funny.
And today is when your luck runs out.
In this movie, we have Ethan Hunt being incredibly lucky because he puts the gate profile in. He mixes them up accidentally in the water tank and he just has a 50-50 chance.
Yeah.
It's true. Like that it's a lot of time. It's just luck.
Even the last movie, most of the reason they succeed is 100% luck. Like the whole sequence in Dubai is just a series of unfortunate events that they happen to scrape by. And then the very end, the whole thing in India where they're trying to get the access code from the guy in Mumbai is like all for naught because the villain already like beat him to it.
Right.
Yeah. And it's just, I can see where someone who's like, if your whole thing is regulation and accountability, you would look at this group and be like, I don't know if you guys are like killing it out there.
Yeah.
And if you're removed from what they're doing, I could see it from an outsider's perspective, it not being the best thing to have.
Absolutely. And every time they ask a question, like you said earlier, Brandt just responds with, I can neither confirm nor deny because without direct approval from the secretary. And so they want IMF to have some oversight, but there is no secretary because my dude died, Tom Wilkinson. And so they rule against the IMF in this trial and say, you know what, Hunley, you're right. Shut him down. So Ethan is captured. We cut back to him. Solomon Lane has captured him. And they bring in some truth juice. But there's a key to his bonds.
A rabbit's foot?
Clipped to what? Yes. Is that a reference to the unnamed device of Mission Impossible 3? Or is that a reference to the luck that they're referring to in the trial?
I'm sure, yes, both. Yeah.
Because I thought it was a joke about how, remember that magical thing that we never knew what it was?
No one knows what the rabbit's foot is.
I thought it was fun. But oh my God, it's Rebecca Ferguson. And I got to tell you, if I was Ethan in this situation, as soon as she turned around, I'd been like, I'll tell you anything. What's up?
I did it. I didn't ask you. I did it.
Like Ethan just looks at her and goes, step on me. And I was like, I don't get it. Just kidding. I totally get it.
Mommy?
Because she takes her shoes off too. And he's like, oh, yes.
Oh.
Bonk.
Horny jail with you.
A bunch of other dudes walk in, which is fucking lame. And they're talking in Swedish.
Oh, what do they call me? They call me the bone doctor.
So
it's because I torture people. It's not because I'm my dick.
Yeah, I don't doctor your bone.
No.
I'm not going to do that. What's up, Dr. Bone? That's what I would have called him. I call him Bone Daddy.
Bone Daddy.
At a certain point throughout my notes.
Hey, Bone Daddy.
Yeah, from Nightmare Before Christmas. Yeah. It only occurred to me about halfway through the movie, though. Because they keep calling him that, like, unironically. I'm like, stop.
He has a name, like.
And they talk to Ilsa Faust, Rebecca Ferguson's character, in Swedish. But they're like, I don't know what he sees in you. Talking about Lane, because Lane is giving her frequent allowances, right? And we find out at the end, he knows full well that she's a double, triple agent. He's still utilizing her, right, mm-hmm. for human nature reasons. That's his favorite weapon, mm-hmm. human nature. And then Ethan says, nice shoes, but he's not talking to the bone doctor. He's talking to her. He's flirting with her. And I get it. even in the midst of all this, he can't help it. Mm-hmm. What's up? She grabs the key, the rabbit's foot, and then Ethan, seeing that she has it, drop kicks the fuck
out of the bone doctor.
Out of Yannick.
He's going to need a real doctor.
And then he hits a pipe, gets knocked unconscious. And the key won't reach. That's an extra bit of tension that I really appreciate, because he's like, ah, fuck. And while she's fighting everybody. So he ends up having to do this like,
oh my
pole
God.
Jump thing.
I know this is a man that's just literally held onto a plane. He's climbed rocks. He's done so many impressive stunts. But when he did that, I think that was the most like, God damn, I wish I had that core strength.
Yeah, that was very impressive.
Holy shit.
Very impressive.
So that's like some Cirque du Soleil shit.
There's a really great fight scene where Ilsa and Ethan are working together. And then they escape. But she's like, I can't go with you. I have to stay. Right. And they can't shoot for shit, luckily, because they're just shooting at him down like a straight hallway and they're just hitting the walls and stuff. They're panicking. I get it. He's so fast. Fuck. Holy shit.
They are the worst shots ever, though.
But she doesn't tell him anything about why she helped him, who she is. He's just like, I love you. And then we cut to Brant, who gets a phone call from Ethan. Go secure, because there's like an app on his phone.
London is compromised.
Yep. The record store lady's dead. I know it sucks because she was super sweet. The syndicate is real. And he's like, Ethan, stop, stop. I don't care anymore. There's no more IMF. I'm a barista now. Okay.
I'm literally in between my Uber deliveries. All right, man. I got to order some dude's nachos and take it to him.
I'm making ends meet, man. What are you talking about?
Focus on the bone doctor.
What the who? Dr. Bone.
What?
I don't want to hear about Dr. Bone. And then Hunley accosts Brant. And he's like, look, man, I'm finna get Ethan Hunt. Okay. And he's like, I bet you won't. He's like, I bet I will.
I bet you won't.
This is Ethan Hunt's last day as a free man. 6 months later.
That wrecks.
It's such a good joke.
It's such a good joke. Because it's Alec Baldwin. He's dead serious. Like, this is, and he's, of course, he has to talk like he's kind of whispering. But this is Ethan Hunt's last day as a free man, 6 months later.
And it's great, too, because, I mean, he is not a nobody. That's the CIA we're talking about, right? That's how good the IMF is.
Ethan is just clowning the CIA
for
6 months.
He is him. Ethan's got a full-ass beard and hella stacks. It's just got different currencies stacked on a table. Hunley's got a chubby for Hunt, okay? He's on a hunt, and he's wanting
it. I call him my white whale.
And he said he thinks he's finally got him. And it's kind of set up to where it tricks you into thinking that they're right outside Ethan's door.
Send the polo brigade in. Did you notice like all the dudes that work for the CIA are just wearing like brightly colored polos underneath?
Got to.
Kevlar.
Yeah, man. Gotta have the collar poking out to look cool. That way you can pop it after a successful mish.
Of course. Yeah.
And Brant's sweating because he's like, oh, man, maybe they are about to get Ethan. Oh, no. But he's not there. He's in Paris. I know, because there's an Eiffel Tower outside. And that's how you tell people in cinematic language that you're in Paris.
Oh, I thought it was at King's Island.
That's fair. He could also be there. And Ethan's been conspiracy theorying because he's got like pictures and yarn up all over his old house where they're looking right now. Look at the North Wall. And it's the syndicate, right? Cut to Benji, who's playing Halo 3, which is a weird plug.
He's playing Halo 3 on a PS4 controller.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, it was definitely a Sony controller that he's playing Halo 3 with, yeah.
Maybe that's supposed to show that he can hotwire anything.
That's true. Benji's just very talented. He's like, I just prefer the PlayStation controller. I like the grip better, the triggers.
Yeah. Reminds me of Shaun of the Dead. We used to play with my zombie friend. Why did Halo 3 pay like $100,000 to have them like zoom in on the Halo 3 cover here? Because like you already understood from the scene video game, but then they're like zoomed in on the drawer as he's closing it. It's like Halo 3.
So it was definitely Halo. I don't know if it makes sense to be Halo 3.
I swear to God it said 3.
Because I think Halo 3 came out in like 2007. Halo 3 is way older than this movie.
I don't know, man.
Halo 3.
I swear to God it said 3.
Because there are other Halo games that it could be. Let me see what the Halo release date is. Yeah, Halo 3 came out September 25th, 2007. A full 8 years before this.
He's playing Halo 5.
Oh, okay.
I just Googled it. Sorry.
Okay.
I took the Lord's name in vain like 3 times, too, and I was just wrong. 5s do look like 3s at a glance.
Especially in that font.
And I was eating cookie dough ice cream last night when I was watching this.
Oh, you got a cookie brain.
That's right.
You got cookie brain. I did.
That's why we made a monster out of one guy. He.
Oh my God. Have you ever, you know the app Waze?
Yes.
So
there's a Cookie Monster audio file.
Yeah, there's a Cookie Monster directional person. It's.
I think you've told me about this before. God. You love it so much.
I love it so much because it's just a crazy person. Like, turn right at the road. And then, like, sometimes it'll alert you if there are police up ahead. It's like, police up ahead. Do you think they have cookie? It's like, replace the word cookie with heroin, and it's just a drug addict, yes, yelling at you, giving you directions.
I love it. I'm not used to that at all. But Benji gets tickets to the Vienna Opera in the mail, and he thinks he's really won a contest.
My boy loves the opera.
Yeah.
He's a sophisticated man.
And then they call Ethan in at that time of the week.
Benji.
To the main office, where they give him a polygraph test and ask him a bunch of questions about Ethan. He's getting sick of it.
See, I owe that man nothing.
I don't know. He's taking up scrapbooking. Because they show him all the stuff that he found.
These are highly classified materials of like ex-agents that have either died or have been whatever.
Yeah, Hunley's convinced he's like killing these men.
Yeah, and he's like, how did he get all these files on these agents? Are you the one supplying this information to him? And Benji's like, fuck off. No, I hate
him. He's really not.
I hate Ethan Hunt now.
Yeah, you think we're friends?
We're not friends.
But then I love how they show the lie detector polygraph waves as being the truth.
Has just this little flutter of truth.
A little flutter of lie in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he does love Ethan.
Yeah.
That is his friend. Cut to Vienna, Austria, because he angrily decides he's going to go. It's like when your job pisses you off and you got PTO and tickets to the opera, you're definitely gone. Mm-hmm. So he flies out to Vienna, and Benji gets a folder handed to him by a rando at the train station, all sneaky-like. And inside is a phone, I believe, and he gets a call from Ethan.
Special glasses.
And a photo of the shooty man, which we find out is Solomon Lane. And he's like, oh, Ethan, I can't even talk to you. No way. But I'm so glad you're calling at the same time because he misses this stuff. He's a field agent, yeah, right?
Miss me, Benji?
You want drama? Go to the opera. I love that transition where like the bus drives by right as he says that. And then you see like the beautiful Vienna opera there. I think that's just incredible. And he says, nice tux when he's on the phone with Ethan, Benji. Yeah,
he looks like, where is he?
He's looking at me.
You see me.
He's doing the same thing he does to his wife. I hate this.
I hate it so much. Why are you creeping on me too? But yeah, Benji's like, oh, that was the Chancellor of Austria is going to be here. Does that have anything to do with what we're doing here, Ethan? Just trying to track a dude that's been committing terrorist activities with that you've been tracking, and also the Chancellor of Austria is here too.
Right.
Coincidence? Benji, you think it's not.
He's too smart. There's a guy, the camera shows a guy who has a suspicious looking oboe. I think it's an oboe. I could be wrong. I'm sure you're right. Into streamingthingspod@gmail.com. And then like the digital key thing was cool. I really like that.
Oh yeah. I like that a lot too.
But Ethan's prowling the opera. Benji spots the shady oboe man.
I love Benji's like fake laptop.
Yeah.
Where it's like a book. You just open up and then the letters like disappear and it becomes like the laptop screen. Like that was cool.
It's like the coolest Kindle of all time.
Yeah.
How cool would that be? If they made a Kindle that was like opened like a book, I would use it.
It's called Cool Kindle with a K.
Really?
No, I'm saying like they should make that and it would be called Cool Kindle with a K. I'm so sorry. You just legitimately got super disappointed.
I was about to Amazon that shit. Like if I just felt like I was reading a book, I could use it so much more often. But yeah, it's a long sequence that I love, this opera scene. Ethan immediately, when he sees Oboe Man, he does parkour, jumps on the ropes in the pillar, and like he's so effortless with it. But then there's a woman in a yellow dress, and she's also on the prowl. And she also has a sneaky gun. It's Rebecca Ferguson. Looking incredible.
And she's rocking that dress.
It's an oboe gun. Oh no, I knew it was a suspicious oboe, but now it's an oboe gun. And there's a note circled on her sheet music, which I thought was very cool. That's the time when we have to shoot the man.
Yeah, when the opera singer hits the big note, that's when you shoot the guy.
I believe that's a whole note.
To hide the sound of the gun, I assume?
I thought so, yes.
Because no one in the audience is aware that the guy was shot.
Yeah, they're very not loud, the oboe guns. Mm-hmm. And then...
It'd be great if like the gun actually was like...
It's like the note. Yeah, it was in harmony with the singer.
Yeah, you have to make sure you hit it so that the oboe player in the pit is actually playing that same note. So people are like, wow, that guy sounds like three oboes.
Wow.
Incredible.
Finn to be in the pit.
Get in the pit.
Benji accidentally raises the thing that Ethan's using to sneak up on the oboe guy. Because he like hits the computer in frustration. It's really funny. So he's like making it harder for Ethan. And then Ethan like confronts the guy, jumps on him. They wrestle and then they stand up eye to eye. Except that the guy is like 2 feet
super
taller.
Tall, yeah.
And Ethan starts to look concerned as the guy keeps going. It's hilarious. And he's got like a little camera in his eye. So it cuts to Solomon Lane, who's looking at Ethan on his phone. And anybody, he knew. He knew he'd be there.
He knew he'd be
he's
there.
He's like, what's up? You shaved your beard.
Human nature.
I like the beard. There's another creep, a third creep with a baton gun. And I'm calling him Striker from here on out.
Striker from Mortal Kombat?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Because he's like a police guy.
Striker.
And
does
then,
a little like baton twirl, then shoots.
Like, yes, exactly.
His animation in the game.
Yeah. So Ethan throws the guy off, kills him. After a long,
does he get like impaled on part of the
it
set?
It never cut to it, but I think it very pointedly showed that spike. And yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, but they never show him actually hit it.
They didn't want that R rating.
Those poor stage hands are going to have quite the shock.
Mess to clean up.
Yeah. Someone shot the Chancellor. That's crazy. Oh my God.
I'm not cleaning that up. And then Ethan grabs the oboe, sees a woman who also has a sneaky looking gun pointed at the same guy, sees Striker. Uh-oh. What do I do? I only got one bullet. Fuck, I gotta curve the bullet. No, wait, that movie hasn't come out yet. Yeah, wait, yeah, it did.
Yeah, it did.
I didn't like it.
Wanted.
He decides to shoot the man, the actual target, in a way that'll like alert all of his guards and get him out of the line of sight.
He wings him. He like grazes his arm.
Yeah, he's a good shot.
So it gets him out of the line of sight from the other two assassins.
And the way he figured out how that oboe gun worked so quickly, love that man.
I would have spent a good solid half hour trying to figure out like where does the bullet go?
I would have never known it was a gun. I'm like, what was he gonna do with this oboe?
How do I do a B flat?
I love Jeff Rotol. That's what I would have said.
Sitting on a park bench.
Why don't you say it like Sean Connery? Kiki,
my tits are back.
Benji goes for Striker, has a tussle. He's about to lose, and then Ilsa saves Benji. She shoots Striker in the back, but he thinks she shot at him and he got lucky.
Yeah.
She panics, takes off. Ethan goes to her. He's like, I got a way out. And she's like, all right, let's do it.
Let's go. Shoes, please.
They run along the roof. Yeah. Slide. They hold my shoes. They slide down a rope. And it's a funny sequence where the flag pole that held them falls right after they get off the rope. Cause it looked sus to begin with. He's like, well, we have no choice. He's like, they shrug. Oh, well. But there was a bomb in the Austrian Chancellor's car. It's terrible.
He got blown up anyway.
He got triple assassinated. No, quadruple.
Solomon Lane is all about those redundancies.
Redundancies.
Yeah. Double redundancy.
My favorite weapon is human nature, but my second favorite weapon is bombs. My third?
Is that your Solomon Lane?
Guns shaped like oboes.
Ethan Hunt.
Ethan Hunt.
I'm going to get you.
I'm an anti-IMF. I tell you what.
I'm an expert in human nature, tell you what.
It's my Hank Hill Lane. In fact, more people died because Ethan tried to save him, if you think about it, because there was the other people in the car this time.
Oh, yeah. His guards and the driver and his wife.
Yes. Very sad. Yeah, very sad. Could have just been him, but no. Had to get involved, Ethan.
Tisk, tisk.
She tried to shoot me. That's what Benji says about Ilsa Faust. And we find out she is British intelligence because they're all three in the car together, right? And this was just a test. She's like, yes, I'm British intelligence.
Yeah, I let you go. So now I'm kind of in the doghouse. Yes. So this is my test. I was going to shoot the Chancellor and that would get me in the good graces of Solomon Lane again. She's deep undercover for British intelligence.
Deep, deep, deep. They have a tail. They find out, though, while they're having this discussion. And he takes like her lipstick from her and he's searching her. Takes her like hair clip. She's like, no, you have to let me go. I have to make it look like an escape so I can stay with them. You have everything you need. Come find me. And she jumps out of the car. They pick her up. He takes off, right? Cut to Hunley ranting about Benji at the opera because it's chaos there, right? At this point, like, there's a bunch of shooting explosions and shootings.
We let Benji go. It's 12 hours later. He's there and the Chancellor's killed and now he's on the lam.
Coinky dink? I think not, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now
we're going to, now Ethan Hunt is shoot to kill.
He ups it to shoot to kill. Yep. Ethan is using old IMF stuff. And like you can tell, because instead of using the retinal scanner from the train, it looks exactly like the one from the train and Ghost Protocol. But he just like hot wires the back and opens up like this boat with all this cool toys and computers and stuff. Benji sees a mask thing and he's like, oh, and which I thought was a really cool little Easter egg, because he gets excited as soon as he sees it.
Benji wants to wear a mask so bad.
So bad.
I can't wait for the day Benji finally gets to wear a mask.
I know, we get like a dream sequence where he gets to wear one for a second.
Yeah, that's true.
Ethan wants him to snitch on him. He's like, go back, tell him I shot the chancellor and all this. And he's like, what? That's like worse than the truth. He's like, nah, it's all links in a chain, a rogue nation, an anti-IMF, which I thought was, because it reminded me of Anti-God, the first Benji speech.
Anti-God.
But it also reminded me of how they always just make a point to say the like vague sounding title in a cool way.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it either.
Rogue nation, baby.
It's a rogue nation.
So Benji is like pissed at him. He's like, no, I'm going to stay. I'm going to help you. I'm your fucking friend. I'm a field agent. I do this. I'm a big boy.
I love this scene. Benji finally like stands up to Ethan. Yeah. And he's like, no, you're my friend. You brought me out here because I'm good at my job. Let me help you and be good at my job. And
Ethan's like, okay.
Yeah, the awkward bit where Benji's like, I didn't think you'd be okay with that.
Yeah. I actually kind of want to go home.
I was hoping you would tell me off.
You were supposed to double down. I could go be safe and not feel bad.
Oh, well, I guess I'm here.
And I love that because I didn't even get it. And I've seen this movie before. But he was like, so how are we going to find Ilsa? And he's like, she said we had everything we need. The lipstick, which is a flash drive.
A flash drive.
Because he's not the tech guy.
Ethan, it's called a flash drive.
He still calls it a thumb drive, you know. Bone Doctor answers the door for Ilsa. Bone Daddy's back. And then she takes down the grabby man because he grabs her and pulls a gun out. And she's like, what's, I love that, how smooth it is. And her like that. That's her move to use, because she's smaller than most of her assailants.
Yeah.
But she has this like leg, neck, swoopy move.
So it's like a little like a Rey Mysterio or Hurricane Runner.
Yeah, yes.
A little Frankensteiner action. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. I love that you've managed to pull wrestling out of both of our movies today.
Can I do it on the third one? Find out.
We'll find out on Fifth Element, baby. And they're upset with her. Solomon says, twice now. I don't know how to do it.
Twice now you've let Ethan Hunt slip away.
And she's like, she pulls his hoe card, as they say. She says, trust me or kill me, but do it yourself like a man. And then throws her gun on the desk that she took from the dude, but like in a rude way, it breaks his stuff. He's looking at it. I don't even know what it is. Mm-hmm. It's like a Lego set he's been working on all day.
I've spent a lot of time on that.
I lost all the pieces. I see every time I try Sean Harris, I get Severus Snape at best. Mm. Obviously. Ethan Hunt.
I'm trying to build the Avengers Tower.
I'm trying. Now I'm going to do a robot. I'm trying.
Yeah, he just shoots the guard that she got the gun off of.
Yeah, poor guy.
Yeah, like
he didn't have a shit to do with it. If I was the other guy that's in that room, like Bone Daddy or whatever, I'd be like, I quit. You clearly have no value for your workforce.
Yeah, she's obviously double-crossing you, and Ted over there has been working for you for 4 years without incident.
She's hot.
Did you see that yellow dress she had on? Ted couldn't fucking pull that off.
Yeah, I tried. I dressed him like that when she left. He looked terrible.
But you know who doesn't look terrible?
Our patrons?
Our patrons. That's right. They are so fly and super good looking. Let's shout them out. How about we do
that? Let's do that. We love those people.
Thank you to Chester Copperpot, Stanton Valentino, Svento7, Pills Baby, Jay Scramo, A.K. Ashley Ray, Alan Tomlinson, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Trey Barrera, Conrad, David Malfara, Kaylee Sampson, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Alexis Adler Thomas, Alexander, Emmy, Joe Velez, Valerie, Aaron Layton, John Collins, Amanda King, Sun Loving Mortal, Andrew Gray, Jay Dinklage Morgoon, Jen Robinson, Kate, Chloe Richardson, Kalisha Reeves, Kiki Newton, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, I can't talk, Casey McCain, and Enza. Guys, next week we're going to start reading off July's patrons, so get ready for that.
Yeah, prep yourselves.
Yeah, prep yourselves. I'm going to stumble over more words. Are there new names that I can't pronounce? There are.
Find out next time. Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Sometimes in life, we're faced with tough choices. The path forward is not always clear. Like, you never know. Sometimes I used to sell cars for a living, and I hated that job. But I made good money. I was able to buy a house. I was gone from my family all the time. I would podcast whenever I could. I didn't get to see many movies. I worked every Thursday night. It was terrible. But I was like, I got to do this. I got stuck in the middle class grind where I was like, hey, this is what's right for my family. Me to be miserable. We feel like we're stuck. We don't know what to do. So whether you're dealing with decisions around your career, sometimes in a relationship, or anything else, therapy helps you stay connected to what you really want while you navigate life so you can move forward with confidence and excitement. Trusting yourself to make decisions that align with your values is like anything else. The more you practice it, the easier it gets. And like I said, I had to have a lot of practice, and it was talking through that stuff with someone else that helped me. And that's why you could find a therapist using BetterHelp that meshes with your values and the way that you see life in that perspective, and they can talk you through in a way that you find valuable and that you understand. So you can do it entirely online, get matched with a therapist like this that you enjoy, that you find value in. And if you find that it's not working, you can switch at any time. It's extremely easy to switch it. So just think about that. Think about how close you are to finding a therapist to better your entire life. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings. So Ilsa tells him, like, look, give me another chance. I'm gonna get Ethan, right? He's like, okay, how are you gonna find him? And she said, he'll find me. I've seen to that. And so it kind of leaves you unaware as to her allegiance, because you could go either way if you're a first time watcher of this movie at this point in the movie.
Whose side is she really on?
And I like that. I like that. But no, it cuts to Morocco. That's where they are. And Ethan loves Morocco.
Casablanca.
Because he like smiles when he finds out. I don't know why. It's like that scene of him like, Morocco. Good times I've had there.
Love that movie.
Cut to Casablanca. There's a lipstick kiss on the door, which is such a great touch because she left him with a lipstick clue. I thought that was great. And then it's her.
Also, she wants to kiss him.
She does. She's the Lord of Kisses. She's practicing holding her breath in the pool, but she only made it to a minute and 56 seconds. Ethan grabs her a towel, and there's more like male gazy eye candy in this movie than we've seen.
Yeah, in the last couple.
I wouldn't, since two.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, there's a pretty egregious one like later on.
Yeah, why does she get naked after she rescues Ethan and before she double crosses Benji?
Yeah.
But.
Hey.
Ah, well.
Literally, there was a butt in that scene, so.
But. Ah, well. Ilsa is practicing holding her breath, and then Ethan gives her a towel. At this point, Luther arrives to Brandt, cut to Brandt's side. And he's like, look, we got to find Ethan and Benji because they got the special activities division. It's going to kill them.
They're going to kill them. And Luther doesn't know if he trusts.
He's like,
Brandt.
I don't fucking know you, dude.
I don't know you. If I have 1 second of doubt which side you're on.
I wasn't in that movie, Brandt. I don't know you.
I was there at the end and you were a clown to me.
Yeah.
You were a clown to me. I know Benji.
Yeah.
I don't know you or that other girl that's not in this movie.
And what he's saying is, you could be using me to help if you find them, and then you're just going to kill them. You know what I mean? Which is fair, right? And then he says, eventually Brandt convinces him, but he's like, look, if I doubt at any point what side you're on, and just gives him a look. And Brandt's like, that's fair. The implication is he's going to kill you, right?
I'm going to tickle you.
You're not going to like it?
I know you're very ticklish, Brandt. I do know that about
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Famously, they call you Giggle Bits.
They do. I don't know why. Terrible nickname. It's worth a bone daddy. Back to Ilsa. She's saying that his name is Solomon Lane. He's former British intelligence, and he was the founder of the syndicate, right? She's been undercover in the syndicate for 2 years. Imagine the things she's had to do crime-wise to stay undercover.
And she doesn't have a hoodie.
So now they have to steal.
She doesn't have a crime hoodie for those crimes.
They don't. Everybody knows it's her.
Yeah.
They have to steal a computer. Basically, it has files that Lane wants. But she's like, but it's impossible to take it. And Benji and Ethan are just like, is it? That's kind of our forte.
That's kind of our bag, baby.
Benji still just wants to wear a mask. So this is where we get the whole fake plan sequence of him wearing the mask. He's so happy. But then we realize because the camera can measure gait, G-A-A-T, or G-A-I-T. It's not going to work.
Did you see the really awesome practical shot in this sequence of Benji wearing the mask?
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
So when it does the 360 shot that it always does of them switching into the mask being effective?
Well, no, there's a shot where Benji's putting on a mask and the camera kind of rotates around to like in front of a mirror, and like Ilsa's leaned up against the mirror. Ethan's putting the mask on Benji, and then you see like the person that Benji's playing in the reflection. It's actually six people and there's no actual mirror, so you have a different actor playing Benji and a different actor's back playing Ilsa's back reflection.
Oh, nice.
So it's like, it's kind of what they did in Terminator with Linda Hamilton's twin in the reflection.
Yes.
That shot. But yeah, cool mirror reflection shot.
In three, the best mask is in three when it does Philip Seymour Hoffman becomes Philip Seymour Hoffman from an obvious mask.
Yeah.
And the way they did it in that movie it's a 360 shot with a fake cut or hidden cut at the back.
Yeah.
You know, it just, because when it hits that guy's suit, it just goes black for a second and they put a cut there.
Yeah.
I just think it's really clever how they do that stuff. It's really good.
Really,
and you told that story about two with Dimitri and all that shit, how it was.
Oh, that was like, yeah, very technically, like they're
a practical
one take,
shot. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
They were in front of green screen, and but they were doing the same acting together, like probably like 5 feet apart, and they were being composited live on top of it.
Yeah. Super cool.
Very complicated shot.
Great filmmaking in these movies. But the mask is not going to work, right? So it's the only way to do it. The only way is to like hold your breath for 3 minutes, dive through the coolant.
Cause they have like a facial recognition software on roids. So it's this like hallway where, you know, it's like a retinal scanner. It checks your face, but then it also can like, it knows how the gait of your walk is. So if you don't like walk exactly like the person down this hallway,
you'll get tased.
You immediately get caught. Yeah. And so they can't like trick that with their masks and clothes and stuff.
It seems dangerous. Like what if you're just going to work and you're like,
you got a limp,
you've got like a bunion, and then like you're kind of carrying a little bit extra weight on one foot.
Kill him. So that's why they
got to be able to use bunion today.
So that's why they have to break into this like data server that's in like a liquid coolant
tank
or something, and they have to literally swap out the profiles so that when Benji does walk in, he matches that profile and he won't get carded.
Exactly right. That's why she was practicing. So it's like a cool intro. Like he doesn't reference it again, but that's why she was doing the breath thing.
You have to be able to hold your breath for 3 minutes.
Yeah, and Benji's like, don't worry about him. He can easily do that.
This is Ethan Hunt.
This is nope. And Ethan's like looking concerned, like, no, I don't want to do that at all.
When's the last time you saw me in water, Benji?
Yeah, I was down there with Brant.
How do you know I can even swim?
There was a flare and some bodies. It was a whole thing. But Luther figures he's got to find Ethan. Oh, he's got to find her to find Ethan. That's his whole plan.
Yeah.
It's a leap in logic, but he's not wrong. I guess
I guess he knows like Ethan's a G. Like, there's no way I'm going to catch him because he's so goddamn good.
But it's like from the detail in the photos. He's like, look at this. That's all he has is these two photos, and he's like, he knows her.
Ethan knows this woman.
Like they
look at the shading.
Yes, exactly. He's put extra care and attention into this photo. I like to mention Ethan. It's colored. It's got like crayons. And
I really
stuff
wish
on
instead
it.
Of like a drawing, like a piece of paper, it was just a photo of Ethan's hand, and he drew their face on his hand, like in form.
Yeah,
Ethan just loves drawing people's faces on his hands.
He always draws on his hands. It's the thing I know about Ethan. She's disavowed. She's bad news,
bad
bro. You've
news.
Been disavowed like four times. How dare you?
How dare you?
Ethan and Ilsa are they float in, pew, pew, shooting the cameras out. It's really cool. They do this like vaporize window technology trick I really appreciate. But then Ethan suits up in a suit that has oxygen written on the arm with like a health bar for a video game so that the audience, who's really dumb.
She was wearing that when she was testing her breath in the first shot when she came out of the pool when they first arrived at her house. She was wearing that on her one arm.
Oh, the oxygen part of it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, because she was timing herself.
I was going to say, she was definitely in a bikini.
Yeah, she
not
was.
Not the suit,
yeah.
But she had that part on her arm.
No, no, you think it's a bikini, but it's really one of those shirts that have a bikini and body printed on it.
And then, yeah, so she shuts down the cooling system. And he jumps in. It's a really
big,
crazy shot.
It's a really big water tunnel.
Yeah.
Every time they would,
it looks really fun.
Every time they would show the big wide shot of the big water tunnel, I just kept thinking, like, that looks like the worm from Dune.
It does. It does. Or like a Sarlacc, the teeth.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I like that.
That's where Boba Fett went, baby. He's in the coolest chamber.
He's going to be slowly digested for 1,000 years.
Yeah, that's right. But I love that when he jumps in that tube, it looks really fun. But yeah, everything's going well so far. Benji's getting in. Everything's working out. He's got like different like unlocky technology thingies.
He's in the whirlpool.
Ethan's doing his thing. It's shut down. He gets to where he needs to go. But then
there's like this mechanical arm that's kind of doing spinning. Something. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's fucking gets hit by it like a dork. right as he's about to put the profile in. Whatever. But then the system comes back on at full power because the people that were on the other side working there out-hacked Ilsa's hack, right? She can't do anything to stop it. So now he's just fucking running out of breath, spinning and spinning, fighting the current, using more exertion.
Well, he was able to swap the profiles before he got knocked out because Benji's able to walk in. And then as he's like, I'm done, he gets bonked. Because she just goes in to save him and Benji's already made it through.
No, it's incorrect.
100%, that's what happens.
He gets hit by the arm before he swaps the profiles because that's how he gets them mixed up.
Well, no, he gets hit, but he doesn't get knocked out.
No. I just meant he get knocked.
Okay.
Yeah, he's
okay.
Still swimming around and stuff. Okay. He gets knocked out from lack of oxygen. So he does put the profile in, but he doesn't know if it's the correct one. It's complete luck. It's a 50-50 chance. He doesn't know which one it is. Mm-hmm. And then now he's it does the job, though. Benji walks through. You're right. He passes out. And we think, oh, no, Ethan's dead.
Oh,
right?
No. What a watery grave for French, our hero.
Ethan does drown, technically. Benji gets the file, right? But then Ilsa to the rescue at the last second. It's such an awesome fucking scene because she's like strapped to his back and she's trying to like spin around with the current, but catch the exit door on the way out, which when she finally does grab it, the force of even grabbing it opens it the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. And they just kind of get shot out, which I really thought was a neat effect, like the physics of it. And then she happens to have like a defibrillator.
Defibrillator.
Thank goodness. And he gets a callback to 3 again as well.
It's nice to have a defibrillator because not only is it going to restart his heart, but just in the very rare case he has a bomb in his brain, it'll neutralize
exactly.
That as well.
Or if you need to maybe kill Benji, but in a safe way.
Yeah.
You got it for that purpose too.
You never know.
And then Benji rolls up as soon as he gets, and he's like, was dead for 2 minutes. So he's the most incapacitated we've ever seen Ethan. He's like, oh, what? What happened?
Yeah.
Benji runs around the corner. See what I tell you? Easy as cake, you know.
Bing, bing, boom. We got it.
And this time, though, he actually did some really difficult stuff. So to Benji's credit.
And Benji's like, hey, you saved my buddy, Ethan. I misjudged you. You're pretty cool. Your ace is in my book, lady.
I know. And she's like, awkward.
Well, that's.
She is cool, though. She's just having like a crisis. You know, she's stuck between a rock and a hard place. But he's like, what are you doing here, Benji? Because Ethan's all like drunk from death. And Ilsa looks so regretful. And I guess because her like sports bra was wet is why we got the man-gazy scene in this scene.
Yeah, she takes off her outfit and puts on some sort of dress. No, it's like a biking onesie, right?
No, that comes later. In this scene, she puts like a chic burlap sack with a belt around the midriff.
Yeah, that's right.
And
yeah.
Then she goes outside and puts on her motorcycle outfit she gets from her friends.
And she's pulling a Declan from 3 and just having all sorts of wardrobe changes.
Well, it's like a J-Lo concert in there. Boom, bang, boom, different outfits. That was a deep cut. Does she do music anymore?
J-Lo do music anymore?
I could have picked literally anybody, though. It would have been more relevant
T-Swift?
For today. Yeah,
Yeah.
Literally a T-Swift concert locally yesterday. She shocks Benji, takes the flash drive, runs off, right? Her dudes show up. She tells them Ethan's
it's
dead.
It's the Bone Zones.
It's they've got a whole group now.
Yeah.
It's Dr. Bone and his boys.
Dr. Bone and the boys.
It's called a soup kitchen. She tells them Ethan's dead. And then she like does this spinny move, knocks over all their motorcycles and rolls out because I guess she feels like if they're all dead, well, because at this point she thinks she's done with the syndicate. So it's safe to just kind of piss off. Mm-hmm. So she just has to get away from them. Ethan's all clumsy. He tries to jump over the car and like falls like it's a slapstick comedy.
Ethan,
movie.
Are you okay to drive? You were a minute ago. You were dead. And he's like, what are you talking about?
What do you mean? You're talking crazy right now.
I was dead a minute ago. I'm alive now. What are you talking about?
So he chases Ilsa in the BMW down the stairs. It's a crazy scenery.
Stairs.
Benji's losing his mind. All the other motorcycles get back up and they make chase. Ethan and Benji run into like sideswipe Luther and Brandt. And he's like, found him.
And then, I love how they're trying to do like a Austin 20 Powers. Point reverse. Oh, you had to get the 4x4.
Do you want me to drive? And then the chase is crazy. And finally, it's really exhilarating. It's a great car chase. But at one point he's in reverse and he realizes he's just going to crash the shit out of the car is what he has to do to get away. And he goes, do you have your seatbelt on? And you're asking me that now? So good. But then they have this like insane end over end. Everybody's definitely going to die car wreck.
Yeah.
But the camera's inside the vehicle too. It was really cool.
Yeah, you can see them like kind of jostling around inside there. And I love this car chase because there's really no music the whole time.
Yeah.
So it's like, it really brings you into it. And when they finally crash, it's a brutal car wreck. It's a brutal car wreck.
It is. It's bad. And then a motorcycle man has Ethan cornered. He really would have died. However, he gets hit by the Jeep driven by Luther and Brandt.
Just in time. Deus Ex, Luther and Brandt.
And then I think it's Brandt pokes his head in. It might be Luther, but he's like, we good? Ethan's like, yeah, we're cool.
Yeah, we're good. And oh my God, it's the best part. Cause yeah, Ethan's like, yeah, we good. And Benji's like passed out. And he's like, he's upside down, passed out. And then he's like, we good. And Benji like wakes up. He's like, ah, look out.
He comes to. And then Ethan just watches Elsa. It's not Frozen. Ilsa.
Let it go, man.
He watches Ilsa ride off. And then Ethan takes off on the cycle that he stole from the guy.
The guy like, just got hit.
Ethan, no. And my notes are, I'm so fucking high on adrenaline. Motorcycles, vroom. That was my note. Because, I mean, he's so, like, low to the street. And, like, it's so well shot. It's exhilarating. It's great.
And this movie in particular, the audio design is stellar.
Yes. Like,
all of the guns in this movie sound so crisp and dirty. I love it.
Yes.
And that translates to the motorcycles as well. The sound design is great in this movie. Best so far.
It's incredible. She ends up making Ethan wreck with her own body because she knows he won't hurt her.
Yeah, she gets a little bit ahead of him and then stands in the middle of the road at a corner. So and he's like, oh!
It's shocking.
Yeah.
Gorge. He should have worn a helmet.
He should have worn anything other than what he was wearing. There's a scene because they're doing those tight turns at high speed, and cyclists you will use their knees to kind of help prop them up, but usually they have like a knee pad or something. But Ethan's not. There's a scene where you see them all kind of do that. And then when it's Ethan's turn, you see him like put his knee out and it scrapes the ground for a hot second. And you can see him like, ah, no. Like he recoils, and which was nice. I like that small touch.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't even catch that. But I don't know how those. I didn't know they did that with their knees. It's a great scene, but like it could have ended up killing him, which would have been really funny. And she like, and then he just had this horrific motorcycle wreck with no helmet. And she was like, and she's like sheepishly took off.
I guess I'm joining the syndicate.
Well, no, I mean, British intelligence wouldn't have cared. So Ethan and the gang are sad in a Moroccan bar, which is another wildly good band name. Benji made a copy of the disc though. Happy with it.
Did I make a copy of that disc?
Come on, I got six copies.
Who are we talking to? It's Benji Dunn here. Come on.
But Ilsa, cut to her, she gives the ledger to British intelligence. Atlee, I think, is the head.
Mm-hmm.
And is it authentic?
You're the only person I trust to verify that information.
He wants her to go back undercover, and she's like, there's no fucking way. I pissed him off like 3 times. And he's like, hey, who told you to piss him off the other 2 times? That was you.
She sounds like a you problem.
I couldn't let Ethan die. You definitely could have. I don't even like that guy.
Yeah, the Americans think you're a rogue assassin. He's really fucking her over in this moment.
He is.
Yeah, he's
and this is great because this is the reason that Solomon Lane is so angry. Is stuff like this, yeah, right? Because
these governments are treating their spies as expendable things and not
and people. Other people, making them kill innocent people. It's just, yeah. And who's really right? We're all just convinced we're right. And I love that at a certain point, Ilsa starts to be kind of converted, not in a way to join the syndicate, but in a way that's like, I kind of agree with him. I'm just going to take a different tact with it. I'm just going to let you guys fight it out.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah.
So it's great. And this scene is incredible. I mean, there's some great lines, like, there are no allies in statecraft, Ilsa, only similar interests.
Yeah, and I love when she leaves and he's such a punchable dude, because as she's walking away, he's like, happy to know where we stand. Just like, oh, you little shit.
Fuck me, right? Yeah, it's great. It's a great scene. And then Luther can't open the disc. It's a red box. You remember those old things we used to rent DVDs before Netflix?
It's red box. It's from 2007. I can only get...
There's still some around CVS's.
They got an Uwe Boll movie in this.
It can only be opened by the voice activation of the prime minister. And so then Brandt argues with Ethan, because again, that's his role in the crew, is to be like, that's too crazy. We can't do it. We're going too far.
We can't nab the prime minister.
No way. So he wants to
warn. We gotta warn the British.
You gotta warn Britain. The redcoats are coming.
I gotta say, I don't know if this is the technically correct way to say this, but something about him saying we gotta warn the British felt weird. I don't know why exactly that line feels the British.
It's not canon in America. That line, you know, it's not canon, it's the opposite. And you just wanting to compete with Lane is what he accuses Ethan of in that moment.
Is that what you think this is?
Lane's not even on my radar. I don't even know who are you talking about.
You think so little of me, Ethan Hunt. I thought we were friends. Yeah, but Ethan is so hurt by that.
Bro.
He's offended.
Not cool. We've dated babes together.
Babes.
Ilsa goes back to Lane, and it's not a ledger, because he knows what it is. He wants it. He's like, I invented that flash drive. And he knows also that she's like a triple agent. The disc, you know, it's like... He was using her, right? He knew that it's still...
Wanted Ethan Hunt to steal this for me.
Yes. He's the ultimate chess player. Mm-hmm. And maybe backgammon. I don't know. But the disc is empty. And then that's got him angry at her. I'm interested to see who you blame for what happens next. Interesting line. Mm-hmm. Had me curious.
Yeah.
Piqued my curiosity.
Who will she blame? What is going to happen next?
It was deleted by Atlee. Director Atlee's trying to cover something up. Uh-oh. He had like a little phone deleted boy.
Yeah.
Ethan talks to Ilsa again. He goes to meet her. And she's like, Atlee said you'd be cool with it. And that's when they find out Atlee deleted it.
I love that shot where like you see the whole gang's kind of there. Like Luther's pretending to be on a payphone. Brandt is like pretending to be on his phone. And Ben's just standing in the middle of the hallway, like with his arms crossed, like, yep, I'm here too. I got my eyes on you. I remember you defibbed me.
I don't like you, harlot. And then there's like a great conversation, philosophical questions on who to work for, right? I love this conversation, this interaction, but she gives him 3 options, the two obvious ones. And then option 3, come away with me right now. And then Luther's like, oh shit.
This scene has a little bit of, I don't know if slapsticky is the word, but there's like almost this stage comedy aspect to the writing here. Cause it's Ilsa saying Solomon Lane thinks this. And then one of the other 3 who aren't in the conversation is like, she's making a good point. And then she would go, I have 3 options too. Oh, I can't wait to hear what this is.
Yeah.
Run away with me. Oh, dang. Like the 3 of them are just
constantly. Can hear her. She can't hear them.
Yeah.
But like Ethan, and you got to picture Ethan getting annoyed as shit. Like
guys, I'm talking. He's got like
literal angels and demons on his shoulder. Like, shh.
Yeah.
I get it. I could see you not fully buying this interaction, but I think
I like it. I just think it's
you're right.
It's different than what normally happens in these movies. But I do love her option 3 is like, hey, come away with me.
I think it's faithful to the audience's perceived love of the characters at this point.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like from an objective, like writing perspective, it's kind of like, maybe you went a little too, maybe you didn't murder your darlings in this instance.
Is ham-fisted the right word? I don't know.
No, I know what you mean.
Hackney? I don't know.
It's a little tonally off. Mm-hmm.
I don't hate it. Like I don't hate it at all. It is just totally different than whatever, what anything else happens.
I could see the people who hate the Humpty Dumpty line in three. Not
Humpty Dumpty sat in a wall.
Not loving this scene. But I like that all the interactions between Elsa and Ethan are great. I love the idea though. Does Ethan really consider it? Do you think
running away with her?
Yeah. Cause he kind of like looks at the mall ceiling or whatever. And
I don't think he actually like realistically considers it. I think it's more of like, boy, howdy, that would be nice.
Yeah. I think he toys with the idea though. You know, he likes to imagine that for a second. That's why he takes his time in answering it. But he's like, what about Lane? We got to get him. And she's like, I got a message from Lane. And then she hands him the phone, but it like delivers a feedback signal to all of his co-agents, all of his buddies, which you can see her surprise too. Like she doesn't know what that was going to do. She thought it was just a phone. And all of a sudden the bone doctor has Benji. He's like, Luther, keep track of Elsa. He's like, got it. Fuck. Where is she? Immediately. and Lane has a job.
Least mobile person of all of us. Keep track of the most mobile person of all of us.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't well thought out. Lane has a job for Ethan. And in order to see Benji again, you've got to, and it's kind of the same plot as three, you know, where there was
I have a hostage, go steal this thing for me. If you want to see this person released or alive again.
Yeah, you summed it up perfectly. Mm-hmm. I want the disc unlocked by midnight. And it's this really, the vibes of this moment are like very, we have to steal the Declaration of Independence.
Okay.
You know, because at this point, Ethan's like, oh, fuck. We have to do it. Yeah. We have to steal the thing for him.
This is how we win.
Yeah.
Can't you see it?
My notes are, can't you see it? Are you dumb? Are you fucking dumb? Like that's you know what I mean? Brant, you're an idiot. It's so obvious. Hunley gets a call from Brant. We're in London. We're at, I'm not going to tell you that. That's on a need to know. I don't want you to kill my friend. So he's very convincing at being the, you know, a rat.
Yeah. But the movie really wants you to think that Brant, like we have gone too far.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a party to kidnapping the prime minister.
Like this scene is kind of like, it could go either way, but they really try to hammer it home with him. Like, what's wrong, Brant? We got the plan all planned out here. You good? Brant, yeah, I'm good. We do whatever we can for our friends, right? You know, it's just like this really playing it up. But in reality, they know they sent him to go call Hunley. And they're actually just saying, you all right? And he's just like got a tummy ache or something.
Or maybe Branch is like super fucking method.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. When he commits, he commits.
Yeah. He really believes now that he betrayed them.
If that scene went on 30 more seconds, Luther would have been like, you know, you can turn it off, man. Like, we know.
We know you went to call. We sent you to the TARDIS. We're huge Doctor Who fans. Benji is with the Bone Daddy and Lane.
Hey, Bone Daddy.
Get him ready. Hunley arrives to Brant, and Hunley immediately goes and tells Atlee, even though Brant's like, no, don't do it. Even though that's, in fact, the plan.
No.
He's going to sacrifice himself. The prime minister. We do get a mask scene. I forgot about this. The prime minister admits that there is a syndicate because it's Hunley, it's Brant, it's presumably Atlee, and it's the prime minister of Britain. He admits to the existence of the syndicate. The virtual red box is their budget. It's billions of dollars for the syndicate to operate with.
Yeah, and like offshore accounts. That's like, you can't trace that money back to the prime minister.
Yes. And Chief Atlee, head of, what is it, MI5 or whatever?
MI6.
MI6. Was the originator of that idea. And it was supposed to never happen. The prime minister shot it down. So he started it secretly and illegally on his own, and then it went turned against him. So he's been trying to cover that up.
Yeah, Solomon was like his dude to help him run it, but Solomon then kind of went rogue.
Yes.
And so he's been trying to cover up his failure ever since.
And then we get a speech from Alec Baldwin that is one of the most laughed at couple of lines in Mission Impossible history. I love it.
Is it Wiz, like, how awesome Ethan Hunt is?
Hunt is uniquely trained and highly motivated, a specialist without equal, immune to any countermeasures. There is no secret he cannot extract, no security he cannot breach, no person he cannot become. He has most likely anticipated this very conversation and is waiting to strike in whatever direction we move, sir. Hunt is the living manifestation of destiny.
I got chills acting that out.
You crushed it, man. I want you to be the new secretary of the IMF. I think there's a position open.
I love that line. A lot of people make fun of it. At this point, Attlee shoots the prime minister with a dart, but it's Hunt the whole time. He's
dun, 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 dun.
You were talking about me? You forgot to mention my dick. What if he said something off color like that?
You know, I would stand and clap. What if he was just like,
manifestation of D's? Something lame.
But the manifestation of destiny line is really the only thing in that whole soliloquy. I'm like, okay, that's a little much, man.
Yeah, he's poetic.
It's Alec Baldwin, though. He's like, I could see Alec Baldwin like, I really have this idea about destiny. I really want to put it in there. Can I talk about Always Be Closing?
At this point, he's been trying to hunt him down for 7 months. And he's like, this guy's a fucking, he's the tits.
He's like, I wouldn't say this in front of any of the people who work for me.
Yeah. Good thing none of them are here. Brant, earmuffs.
But he, low key.
Dead ass.
I kind of love him.
Exactly. That's the vibe he's getting.
I really want Senpei to notice me.
Yes. And then it cuts to the real Attlee. Who is arriving during this point. And by the way, the prime minister is not passing out. It's like a truth serum that they drugged him with. So he, amidst everything.
You have a very warm hand.
A quote from Rudyard Kipling is the password they need to open the disk drive. You have a very warm hand. He does say that. There's a look between, Ethan's like, that's a great gag. The real Attlee shows up, but they want him to walk in, right? So they're behind the door. They shoot him as well. He confesses, and they have this whole ruse designed to where Hunley's the hero. So they kind of get him on their side as well. So now yeah. Hunley knows that the syndicate exists, and he's gotten out of this bad British, you've said British, UK, US relations back hundreds of years to the revolution. And now he's their friend.
He's like, he kind of has to be all in because if he tells the truth, it's like, oh yeah, I helped, aided and embedded the prime minister of the UK getting, you know, tranquilized and, you know, we stole secrets. So he has to be kind of, okay, I'll play along because I'm kind of fucked if I don't.
Yes. It's great. It's a great plan. Don't you see?
This is how we beat him.
Like that's literally Ethan thought of all of this in a moment of duress in a parking garage. Can't you see it? It's fucking easy, man.
Yeah.
I'll wear the mask and be Attlee. You know, you call Hunley.
No.
You're dumb.
Ethan, I did not see this.
That's because you're an idiot.
You're an idiot, Brant. You will never replace me.
I saw the Bourne ultimatum or whatever the fourth one was.
Pass.
Green grass can kick.
Jesus fucking Christ. It's Jason Bourne.
I know how you feel about Greengrass.
I hate Paul Greengrass.
Calls Lane. So they call Lane. I got the disc, right? Really cut it down to the wire, which is exactly what the guy from Davian said. So interesting.
Mm-hmm.
2.4 Billy. That's what's on that drive.
Ooh, that's a lot of quiche.
Ethan quickly scrolls through all of it on his computer and he's like, drills a hole in it, which is funny because there's like a voice there that's like, here's instructions on how to open, access these files. And I was thinking, I don't think that's what the instructions said. It might be.
Yeah. I don't. Step one.
Drill a 3/8-inch bit into the front.
But Luther's a little worried. He's like, hey, man, should we give this to them? Are we about to unleash a terrorist superpower? What happens if you can't make it back?
Same thing as the nuclear codes from 4, you know, because we actually have to give them this. And he's like, no, I'm going to drill it. I got this. Check this out. Ethan sees Ilsa out and about. Oh, hey.
Oh, hey. Well, Ethan, what are you doing here? I was just stopping by to get a couple.
I ran into Benji. He's got a bomb on his chest. Yeah, because she's sitting there with Benji as well. He's got an earpiece in.
British people be crazy.
They do be. And one of those eye cameras. And so it's actually Lane speaking through him.
Yeah, Benji is Lane's meat puppet.
And basically the ultimatum is Ethan and Benji die no matter what. And Ilsa, in fact, is going to have her brains blowed out by the bone doctor when this is over. Mm-hmm. Or everyone in this area can die. It's up to you because there's like ball bearings in the bomb as well. Ethan's like, option three. How about this? How about this?
How about this?
And this is where the line, human nature, my weapon of choice. And it's so funny. It's cheesy. Human I love nature, it.
I love it. My weapon of choice.
Because essentially what happens in this scene is Ethan cuts him off, his big villain moment. He says, I get it, man. You were a step ahead of us every way. You knew exactly that this right here would happen. So did I, bitch. And then, like, that's basically what he says.
And that's the rest of the movie, isn't this going, bitch? Like, yeah.
You thought that I thought that I thought that you thought, but I thought of that already.
I thought of it already. Oh, did you think I would think of it already? Well, I done thought more about it.
I thought other things that you didn't think I would think.
Yeah, so he memorized all the numbers in his in the account.
He has an eidetic memory, which I think is new as one of his skills, right?
To this extent, for sure.
Because, I mean, I can't memorize my own account number.
No.
Much less
however
hundreds,
many that was.
Hundreds. And he just glanced at them, you know?
And he knows how much each one is worth. So he's like, how about in a show of good faith, I'll give you $50 million if you let Benji go.
Either that or he memorized one.
One.
And he's a great bluffer.
And that's also part of it, because he kind of says, like, you might think I'm bluffing, but yeah. Is it worth the risk if I'm not?
Either way, it's destroyed. So you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, I'd like, it's all up here, baby. You need me.
Yep.
Let Benji go.
The only way you're going to get all those numbers is if you get the bone doctor to work it out of me.
Get bone daddy to get it from me.
Hey, bone daddy, we need some numbers.
So now Lane is like, fuck, you got me. He stops the explosion, lets Benji go, gives Benji the code, who leaves.
I love when Benji's like, hey, remember when I told you one day you were going to take it a step too far? This is today. That's me talking, by the way, not him.
great line. And Ilsa's like so turned on in the background. Because like Ethan just managed to pull off like the most psychotic one-upper on Lane of all time that she never saw coming.
Yeah.
She's just looking at him like, holy shit. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it's Ethan Hunt.
But yeah, they're like, he's like, kill Issa, Ilsa.
The woman.
We need Ethan alive. And then Ethan starts human shielding her.
Yes, which I thought was great.
Yeah.
And then it's like a human shield gunfight. We see a quick clip of Brant and Luther like building something and like, we're not ready. We'll fucking get ready. You know, and we're like, ooh, what are they doing?
What are they doing over there?
They're making the box. They kill the guys in the tunnel. They kill the other guys and the other guy. And then Ilsa ends up.
They're just bulldozing through these Jamokes. Yes. Like, aren't these supposed to be super spies as well?
Yeah.
Nothing super about these spies.
Not with Ilsa and Ethan working together.
No.
And it's Ilsa versus the Bone Daddy. And he's giving, that's not a knife, because she's got this little one. And he's like, ha, we're going to do this.
She crushes him in this fight.
Beats the dog shit out of him.
Seriously, like, she's nicking him left and right. And every time he's like, oh, you might have cut my left arm. I still got this right one.
That's just a flesh wound.
You cut my left leg. Oh, I'll just limp and get you. Like,
come over here. I'll bite your legs off. Him. And she does her leg swoopy thing on the neck.
It's like, yeah, stabs him like through the
aorta.
Aorta, yeah. He's like, just like, the gurgly noise. Yeah.
That's not. My bone.
At first, I thought she just directly stabbed him, like, right on the in the top of the
head. I would have preferred that. I like that when that happens.
But that's harder to do.
Like Starship Troopers.
It's harder to break through skull than get up in there.
Yeah, your fleshy midriff.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless your abdomen's rigid, which is not good. It's not healthy.
It's not good, yeah.
Bone Daddy dead. How about that?
But Solomon Lane, he wants to get in on the action. He starts chasing an injured, quote-unquote, Ethan through the streets.
Yep, he's lurking. He closes in on Ethan and chases him right into a bulletproof box.
Oh, no.
Meet the IMF.
Dun, dun, dun.
Bum, 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 bum. Dun, dun,
dun. This is so cool because, yeah, they put up the walls of the box one side at a time. And the different members of the team are like they're staring at him on each side of the box. It's like, oh, it's such a satisfying way to get the villain, like, oh, not they captured him and they outsmarted him. And somehow it's even worse for this particular guy.
Yes.
That they caught him and didn't just kill him like every other villain so far in the franchise.
Yes.
They put him in a box. He was outsmarted completely.
The same way that Ethan was at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so painful for him. And then Ethan just angrily pushes the box over, slides him right into the back of a truck. They drive off. He looks at Ilsa. You're free now. What are you going to do? She says, I don't know. You know how to find me, mm-hmm. which I assume is Facebook is what she's talking about.
Yeah. I'm on Foursquare.
Look me up.
I check in often. So just find out where I'm checking in at. Do people still use Foursquare?
I don't even know. Hunley is now saying that the IMF is not to be dissolved. In fact, he said the only reason he ever said it was is part of a
elaborate scheme.
Yeah. I don't appreciate Congress being used in this way. And he says,
I don't like your methods, sir.
Desperate times, desperate measures, quoting Ethan Hunt from earlier.
The manifestation of destiny itself.
Said himself, yes. Brandt, once again, can neither confirm nor deny, which is a funny callback yet again. And then Hunley is appointed the new Mr. Secretary of the IMF. Bum, 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 bum. Fallout is the best one next. Yeah, bum, bum. Super excited.
Yeah, what a good way to end it.
Super excited.
Welcome to the IMF, sir. Boom.
Bone daddy.
Yeah, this movie this is a good one. This is a good one.
So I vote our current ranking, starting from best to worst, is 3-4-2. No, 3-4-1-2. Right?
Yes.
3-4-1-2. Yeah. I vote, I posit, I think you're in agreement.
Okay.
We go 5-3-4-1-2.
So Rogue Nation, number one.
Correct.
Number two, Mission Impossible 3.
Correct.
Number three, Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol.
Correct.
Number four, Mission Impossible 1. Number five, Mission Impossible Dose.
Yes.
I agree. I think that's the right call.
I actually held my breath.
For a second where you're like, false.
Because so far...
Retroactively, I'm moving two into the number one position and we're putting that Rogue Nation in last place, daddy.
So we'd have to sit here until, like, you would... What would that be called? You'd be filibustering if you did that, basically.
Oh, my God. I'd bring out, like, Green Eggs and Ham and read it on a loop.
Because at this point, we haven't really disagreed, hardly. Except for apparently...
Surprisingly, yeah.
You wanted to put... two above one, which I think is bonkers.
Here's the thing. Again, objectively, one is better than two. Me personally, I get more enjoyment watching two.
And I think you said as much.
Yeah, I did.
Which is still bonkers.
I'm begging to listen to the show.
But it's like, you got Jean Reno and, you know.
Yeah. I just don't like the connective tissue of the first movie. I don't think it works. I think it gels well. And two is just laughably bad, and I laugh at it, and it makes me feel better about myself.
I was angry.
But no, this movie in particular, Rogue Nation.
Dude, now we get to watch Fallout.
I'm so excited. I haven't seen Fallout since like 2020,
I think, was my last watch.
Yeah, it's probably 2019 for me.
It was during the quarantine that I watched it.
Yeah, I watched mine before I moved into my first or my last house. I was at the apartment in Kentucky.
Remember, we talked about doing this when Andy was on Streaming Things and doing a giant Mission Impossible marathon. Way back when we did the Fast and Furious marathon, because Dead Reckoning was supposed to come out back then.
Yeah.
That's wild.
That's how long it's been shelved for.
Yes. Yeah. So I've been itching for this for a long time. I'm glad you guys are joining us. Tune in next Monday for what's it called? Fallout.
The one we were just talking
just
about?
Just fucking talking
about.
What
was that movie called?
Fallout. And that day, we're seeing Dead Reckoning when they're listening to Fallout, right?
Yeah, so we're kind of changing the schedule a bit next week. So next week, we're going to have the Fallout review come out on Monday. Mm-hmm. We're going to watch Fallout that Monday, record about it Tuesday, and our review for Dead Reckoning Part 1 will be next Wednesday.
And so our final ranking.
And our final ranking until Part 2 comes out.
Correct.
Yes.
Final for now.
Final for now. Until next week.
That's right. So don't forget to rate and review the show wherever you're listening to this. Hopefully it's on Spotify. And email the show at streamingthingspod@gmail.com. You can become a patron at patreon.com/streamingthings. Mm-hmm. And follow us on social media. We're on every single social media that you can think of. So
yeah, we also have a website, streamingthingspod.com.
That's right.
Check that out.
That's all the time we have for right now. My name is Kit Laser.
And I'm Steve.
This is Streaming Things. Happy streaming. Dun, 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 dun. I keep rubbing my goatee on the mic. Accidentally. I'm sorry.
Ew.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.